Hello, welcome to the Rethink Your Understanding podcast, where we dive deep into transformative insights on leadership, agile, lean, DevOps, value stream management, and flow engineering. I'm your human host, Phil Clark. I've been leading technology teams for over two decades in both eras of software delivery. In each episode, the AI-generated hosts dive into key concepts and insights from my articles and blog posts. While this conversation is generated by AI, there may be occasional errors or misinterpretations that differ slightly from the original material. Join me as we explore and improve our understanding of digital transformation. I hope this inspires you to read the original article and reach out to me to collaborate. You will find a link to the article in the show notes. Also, if you enjoyed today's episode, please like, rate, and follow us on your podcast provider of choice. Your support helps us reach more listeners, and every review counts. Stay tuned for more thought-provoking content, and thanks for being part of our podcast experiment and journey. In this episode, we focus on software engineering. The AI hosts analyze my article, Shift Left Security, Security Unit Tests, OWASP Top 10, and AI, Key Practices for Secure Development. The aim is to promote shift left security by integrating security testing early in the software development process. This involves writing security unit tests to tackle vulnerabilities highlighted in the OWASP Top 10, with examples provided in Java and JavaScript in the article. We also explore the potential of AI to enhance security testing. Let's dive in.
All right, so you wanted to talk about building secure software, and specifically this whole shifting left thing.
Right.
So we've got this blog post on secure development, and they've got some pretty interesting examples in here about like how these security unit tests can catch vulnerabilities early on.
Yeah.
And then we can even touch on AI and how all that's playing a role too. What are your thoughts on all that? I mean, the good, the bad, all of it.
Yeah, I think what's really interesting about shift left is it's really a mindset shift,
right?
It's about when and how we think about security in the entire software development life cycle.
Yeah. It's like a, you know, when you're building a house.
Yeah.
You wouldn't wait till the roof is on to check if the foundation's good.
Yeah.
You know, like in the blog post, they make a similar analogy with shifting left for quality assurance.
Right. And the cost of fixing security flaws late in the game, I mean, it can be huge.
Oh.
I mean, we're talking financially, we're talking time, we're talking reputation, right? Like imagine a company, you know, that has a major data breach.
Oh, yeah.
That's a nightmare. Catching those vulnerabilities early on is like preventing a disaster before it even starts.
Right. You're stopping that whole domino effect, right, yeah, from happening. So, I mean, to do that, developers have got a bunch of tools that they can use, you know, like profilers, static analysis, dynamic analysis, like a whole team of detectives, you know, working on the code.
Yeah. Yeah, those tools are essential, really, in secure development.
Right.
Like, let's take static analysis as an example.
Right.
So a developer can run their code through a static analysis tool before it's even deployed.
Right.
So this can actually help identify potential security weaknesses without even executing the code. Hmm. It's like having a spell checker, mm-hmm, but for security vulnerability.
Right. And then there's, like, dynamic analysis, right?
Yeah.
Where you're actually, like, running the code and looking for vulnerabilities, like, in real time.
That's right. Yeah, it's like a security camera.
Right.
But for your software.
Exactly.
And these tools are really most effective when they're integrated from the start.
Right.
Of the development process.
Right.
That's where the shift left really comes in.
Right. So catching these things early is key.
Yeah.
How do you actually do it?
Right.
Well, the blog post that we've got here highlights security unit tests.
Yeah.
And they use this thing, the OWASP Top 10. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah. It's basically a list of the most common web application security risks.
Okay.
So it's a great starting point, but it's important to remember that the world of security threats, it's constantly changing.
Right.
So think of it as a cheat sheet, a security cheat sheet to help build, you know, more secure software.
Right. And what I thought was really interesting is that they give you actual code snippets for security unit tests.
Yeah. That can help address these risks. So it's like a blueprint, you know.
Yeah. It's like those little trip wires
Right.
set up to catch those specific errors before they can become, major issues.
Right. All right. Well, let's get into some specifics then.
Okay.
The first one that they talk about is injection.
Right.
And specifically the SQL injection example.
Right.
So imagine someone's trying to log in to a website, right?
Yeah.
But instead of typing in their username and password, they type in or they paste in some malicious code.
Right. And if the website isn't protected properly, that malicious code could actually manipulate the website's database.
Oh, wow.
Giving the attacker access to sensitive user data.
It's kind of scary how a simple login form can be manipulated like that.
It is.
So how does that code snippet that they give actually help to prevent that?
Well, think of it like this. Like, the code snippet's kind of like a bouncer at a nightclub.
It's checking each user input.
Right.
For anything suspicious, right?
Right.
And if it detects patterns that suggest the SQL injection is happening,
right,
it'll block that request, preventing that malicious code from ever reaching the database.
Okay, so it's like a filter, right?
Yeah, it's like a security checkpoint,
right,
before you can even get in.
Okay, that makes sense. The next one they talk about is broken authentication,
right?
And they use this session expiration example.
Yeah.
So what makes that one so dangerous?
Well, it's all about how websites manage user sessions.
Right.
Imagine you log into your online banking account.
Uh-huh.
Right. You step away from your computer, forget to log out.
Yeah. All the time.
Right. Without proper session management, someone else could just come along and access your account while that session is still active.
Oh, wow.
Right.
So even with a strong password, you're still vulnerable.
You are.
They mention session expiration as a safeguard, I guess.
Yeah.
How does that work in practice?
So the code snippet provided is basically a timer.
Okay.
It sets a time limit for how long that user's session can remain active.
Okay.
And after that time, the user is automatically logged out, even if they didn't manually log out themselves.
Right, right.
So it makes it much harder for someone to take advantage of an inactive session.
It's like a safety net.
It is.
Yeah, not
especially for forgetful users.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so last one in this section.
Okay.
Cross-site scripting. Or XSS.
Right.
So what's that all about?
So this vulnerability involves injecting malicious scripts into a website that then run in the user's browser.
Okay. So something that seems pretty harmless, like a comment on a forum or something,
yes,
could actually contain malicious code.
Exactly, yeah. And that code could do, all sorts of nasty things.
Yeah.
From stealing your cookies, hijacking your accounts. It could even redirect you to fake websites, designed to steal your personal information.
Wow. So it's like potentially a lot of damage from something that seems so simple.
Right, right.
So how does the code snippet combat that?
So this code snippet's like a filter. It checks any user-submitted content,
right,
that's going to be displayed on the website.
Right.
So it scans for potentially harmful scripts and neutralizes them before they can actually cause any harm.
Okay. So before any user-generated content goes live on the website, it's basically being scrubbed.
Yeah.
Like to make sure there's no XSS attacks.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, yeah.
And this is all happening at the unit testing level.
That's right, yeah. So these tests are integrated into the development process, so they're catching these vulnerabilities really early on.
Right.
Saves, everyone a lot of trouble later down the line.
Right, right, right. Okay, so we've talked about SQL injection, broken authentication, cross-site scripting, but they also mentioned some JavaScript UI examples.
Yeah, yeah.
For these, why is that significant?
Well, it just highlights the fact that shifting left and using these unit tests, it's not just about protecting, what we call the back end.
Right.
The server side.
Yeah.
It's about making sure that your front end is secure as well.
Okay.
Right. So it's like, building a fortress. Mm. You want to secure all the entry points,
yeah,
not just the main gate.
Right, right. So it's security at all layers, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we're talking about layers. There's this whole other dimension to security now, right?
Yeah.
AI.
Right. Artificial intelligence.
Right. So how is AI? I mean, it seems like it's kind of a double-edged sword, right?
It is. It's starting to play a dual role in security, both as a potential threat and a powerful tool for defense.
Yeah. We've all seen the articles, I mean, and heard about how it can be used to create malware, you know, and launch all these complex attacks. But how is it actually used to enhance security?
That's a great question.
Especially in this whole shifting left approach.
Yeah, and that's actually something that I think we should unpack further as we continue this deep dive.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. So, you know, earlier this year, there were all those articles, right? About those AI code assistants.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And how they were actually introducing vulnerabilities.
Yeah, those were pretty wild. It was like, you know, giving someone a power tool with no training,
right.
You're bound to have some accidents. But the article, it did say that these AI tools, you know, they're rapidly improving
yeah.
and incorporating more security features.
Yeah.
So hopefully that trend continues.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, take GitHub Copilot, for example. Yeah. They've made some pretty significant strides, you know, in addressing those initial security concerns. And what's really fascinating is that, you know, these AI assistants, they're actually learning.
Right.
From past mistakes. Mm-hmm. And they're getting better at recognizing, you know, and preventing potential security issues.
Right. Okay. So they're not just, you know, spitting out code blindly anymore.
Right.
They're becoming more security conscious.
Right.
Okay. So what are some of the ways that AI is actually being used to strengthen security?
Right.
Especially, you know, with this whole shift left thing.
Yeah. So one of the, I think, most promising applications is using AI to analyze massive data sets of code, both secure and insecure.
Okay.
And by doing that, you know, AI can start to identify those patterns.
Okay.
And even predict potential security flaws.
Yeah.
You know, in new code being written.
So it's kind of like, you know, having a superpowered security expert.
Yeah.
That's seen it all before.
Yeah. Yeah. it's like having that seasoned veteran on your team. But that's just the beginning. The blog post mentions how AI can also generate test cases for developers.
Okay.
Which is, I mean, a huge time saver.
Yeah.
Imagine having an AI assistant that can just, you know, automatically create those tests. Check for all sorts of vulnerabilities.
Right.
Automatically.
That would be a game changer.
It would be, yeah. So instead of developers spending, you know, all that time manually creating tests.
Right.
The AI can kind of handle the heavy lifting.
Yeah, so they can focus on other things, right?
Exactly. And then there's static and dynamic analysis.
Right. We were talking about that earlier.
Yeah. Which we talked about earlier, AI can play a big role here as well.
Yep.
For instance, it can help reduce the number of what we call false positives.
Okay.
That come up during static analysis.
Can you explain what a false positive is?
Sure. Yeah. It's basically a red herring.
Okay.
So it's when a security tool flags something, you know, as a potential vulnerability.
Right.
But when you look closer,
right,
it's actually harmless.
Right.
So it's a real headache for developers because they have to, you know, investigate each one.
Oh, yeah.
Even if it's not a real threat.
Right.
So AI can kind of help filter out the noise, so to speak.
Right. So they can focus on the real threats.
Exactly.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. So it's all about efficiency and effectiveness.
Right. Right. And making the security process better.
Exactly.
Okay. So earlier we were talking about, you know, AI being this kind of double-edged sword, right? When it comes to security, it's clear that it can be used, you know, for good.
Right.
But it's not like this perfect solution, right?
Yeah. It's important to remember that AI, in this context at least, is a tool.
Right.
And like any tool, it has its limitations.
Right.
It's not about, you know, replacing human expertise completely.
Right. So we're not talking about like handing the keys over to the robots, right?
Yeah, definitely not. We still need, you know, skilled security professionals to oversee these AI systems.
Right.
Interpret the results and make those critical decisions. It's more about a collaboration, really.
Right. Humans and AI working together.
Exactly.
To make things more secure. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Now, the blog post ended with, I thought, a really interesting question about the balance, you know, between AI and human oversight when it comes to software security. Like, how do we manage that balance?
That's a great question. And it's one that we need to think about very carefully as AI gets more and more integrated into, you know, security practices.
Right. So Where do we go from here?
Yeah.
Like, how do we start to address this and find, you know, that optimal balance?
Well, I think one of the first things we need to do is address, you know, the potential for bias in these AI systems.
Bias. Like, yeah. How could AI, I mean, when it comes to security, like, how could it be biased? Hmm.
Well, it all comes down to the data, right? Oh. That these systems are trained on. If that data reflects, you know, existing biases in the real world,
right,
those biases can end up being, you know, incorporated into the AI's decision making.
So it's almost like, even though we're talking about AI,
yeah,
there's still like a human element.
Right. You know? Exactly. That's why it's so important to have, you know, diverse teams.
Right.
Of developers and security experts working on these systems.
Yes.
People who can, you know, spot those biases and make sure that things are fair and inclusive.
Right. And I imagine education, you know, plays a big role too.
Absolutely.
You know, making sure that people actually understand how AI works, you know, and its limitations, its potential impact, yeah. All of that.
Yeah. It's not just about, you know, knowing how to write code.
Right.
It's about understanding the tools that you're using.
Right.
Especially as those tools, you know, get more and more sophisticated.
Right. Okay. Well, we've covered a lot in this deep dive. You know, we talk about shift left and, you know, those common vulnerabilities, the OWASP Pop 10, and then all this, you know, AI stuff.
Yeah. It's been quite a journey.
Yeah.
I think it's safe to say that the future of security, you know, for software development, it's going to be heavily influenced by all of this.
Right.
You know, this relationship between human expertise and AI.
Right. And that's where we'll leave you for today. We'll wrap things up in part three. So we're back.
Yeah.
And it's time to wrap up our deep dive into shifting left for security. You know, we've talked about why it's so important, went through some of those common vulnerabilities, and even got into the whole AI thing.
Right. It's been a lot.
Yeah. So what would you say, like, the main takeaway is for all this?
I think one of the big ones is that shifting left, it's not just like some buzzword.
Right.
It's about changing, like, fundamentally how we think about security when we're developing software.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead of it being like an afterthought.
Right.
You're making it, you know, a core part of the process from the very beginning.
Exactly. And like we saw with those OWASP top 10 examples.
Right.
Those security unit tests, they're so valuable.
Yeah.
It's like having, you know, all those guards watching out.
Right.
For those common vulnerabilities.
Yeah, and they're automated, right? So they're running all the time, checking for those issues.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In the background.
Yeah.
So developers don't have to, you know, constantly be thinking about it.
Right. They can focus on other things. But even with, you know, all these cool tools,
yeah,
we can't forget about the human side of things.
Absolutely. We talked about that earlier, you know, AI can be really powerful.
Right.
For security, but it's not a magic solution.
Right.
We still need those skilled security professionals,
yeah,
to be involved,
right,
to guide these AI systems, you know, make sense of the results.
Right. Make those decisions. So it's all about finding that right balance, right?
Yes.
Between AI and the human experts.
Yeah, yeah. Finding that sweet spot.
Right. And that brings us back to, you know, that question that the blog post asked.
Yeah.
About, you know, how do we manage this balance?
Right. It's a tough one.
Yeah.
And there's no easy answer.
Right.
But, you know, one thing we should definitely be thinking about is how to encourage collaboration.
Okay.
Between, you know, the security professionals and the people who are building these AI systems.
Yeah. Break down those walls.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, more communication.
Right.
More sharing of information. So it's not us versus them.
Right. Right. It's we're all in this together kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And as these AI systems keep getting more complex.
Right.
We really need to make sure they're transparent.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, like explainable. We need to know how they're making their decisions.
Right.
So we can trust them.
Right. It's almost like saying to the AI, hey, show your work.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Show me how you got there.
Right. And that's where the humans come in.
Yeah.
Right. We need, you know, people who not only get the technical stuff, but can look at the results the AI comes up with. Make sure it's all making sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, make sure it's ethical.
Yeah.
All of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So sounds like the role of a security professional is going to change a lot in the future.
It is. It's not just about, you know, knowing how to stop attacks. It's about understanding how this whole AI thing is changing things.
Right.
And how to use it.
Right. Use it the right way.
Exactly. responsibly.
Okay. Okay. Well, we've covered a lot. You know, we talked about shifting left and the human AI relationship and all sorts of things. So hopefully, you know, our listeners have a better understanding of all this.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. I think secure software development is so important.
Yeah.
And we all have a role to play in making the digital world a safer place.
Absolutely. So keep learning. Keep asking those questions. Mm. You know, stay curious. And until next time, stay secure.